Let's just commence, please, with a wee word of prayer. We commit our time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we look to Thee just now for this gospel service. We pray, Lord, that tonight You'll come. And Lord, by Thy Holy Spirit, take control. We pray, Lord, for help from heaven this evening. Bless us as we sing Thy praise. We pray that everything may be to the honor and to the glory of Thy great name. Hear and answer prayer. In the name of Christ, we ask all of these things. Amen. Our opening hymn is Charles Wesley's great hymn, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Saviour's Blood? Died He for me, who caused His pain for me, who Him to death pursued." 263 in our hymn books. The words will be on screen. We'll stand together after we get the introduction, please.
For me.
Let's come before the Lord again, please, in prayer. Let's seek for His help, His presence this evening. Come, as we've been singing boldly, to that throne of grace. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this evening for the truth of this great words. Oh, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died He for me, who caused His pain. Lord, realize it was for me. It was for my sin there on the cross that Christ died. He who had no sin of His own, yet was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. And yet, O God, we thank Thee tonight that while we were yet sinners, You died for us. We thank the Lord tonight that while we were helpless and weak, You set Your love upon us. Sent Thy Son into this world to be our Savior. And Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We praise Thee, Lord, tonight that it is because of Him every blood-washed, blood-bought soul in this meeting can say, no more condemnation now do I dread. For Lord, we thank Thee tonight that we can say with the words of Paul that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We thank Thee, O God, tonight that we have been set free. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that we've been redeemed. We praise Thee, Lord, tonight that our sins have been forgiven. We praise Thee, O Lord, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, so many blessings, all of the blessings that come to us through our fountainhead of our union with Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, we pray, therefore, that You'll help us to rejoice and to praise Thee more and more as we ought. Oh God, we pray that tonight You lift our eyes heavenward. Help us, Lord, to behold Christ through the messages and song, through the preaching of the Word of God. We pray, Lord, that we will behold our Savior tonight. Oh God, we pray that all eyes will look to Him. Lord, that our attention, Lord, will be directed toward Him. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight You will be pleased, Lord, to direct the hearts and minds of those still in their sin, still out of Christ, and still far from God. Lord, direct them to Jesus Christ, the mighty to save. Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise Thee this evening for the gospel. We thank Thee, O God, tonight for the glorious message of saving grace. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that we have this message to proclaim. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight for the hope of the gospel. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight each one in this meeting might know with assurance that hope within their souls tonight. For any who have come in out of Christ, we pray, Lord, that You'll captivate them. We pray, Lord, that You'll convict them. And Lord, that this night You'll convert them, change them. O God, we pray, take them out of darkness and bring them into that new life that there is in Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that You'll bless our coming together. Encourage every heart tonight, we pray. Lord, we thank Thee for all who have gathered in the house of God. We pray, Lord, that You'll bless us. Lord, we thank Thee for this open door. We thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that is ours to come, Lord, into the house of God and to sing Thy praise and to hear Thy word. Remember, Lord, those who cannot gather with us tonight. We ask, O God, that You'll draw near to those who are unwell at this time, those who are in hospital, Lord, those unwell in their own home. Touch them in their bodies, we pray, and raise them back, Lord, again to that measure of health and strength once again, that very soon we might see them back in the house of the Lord. Remember, Lord, those who are sorrowing tonight. Remember Andy and Anne especially. We pray, Lord, that You'll draw very near to them at this time of loss. We ask, O God, that You'll pour in the oil of joy for mourning. Remember, Lord, tomorrow in that funeral service, give, Lord, Thy peace. And, O God, we pray that in everything may they find the Lord Jesus Christ to be their comfort and to be their stay. Our Father, we pray that tonight You'll bless the going forth of the Word across our land and across our nation. O God, we pray, come amongst us. Come, pour out Your Spirit upon us, we pray. Lord, we need Thee tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we lie in the lap of the evil one tonight. But, oh God, we thank Thee tonight that greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. So, Lord, drive back the forces of hell. Defeat the plans of sin and Satan. And, Lord, bring many souls into the kingdom of Jesus Christ tonight. Build up the work of God, we pray. Take us forward and take us onward in Thy work. So bless us, we pray. Continue on with us now. Give us help, we pray. Remember the girls as they come and minister to us in song. Encourage them. Bless them. We pray, Lord, that they might know great help from heaven, even as they would sing to us this evening. And Lord, we pray for help in the preaching of the word. May everything be to the honor and to the glory of thy great name. So hear and answer prayer. Continue on with us now. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Delighted to welcome Rachel and Tiersa. There's just one missing, but she's away on Sunday air claims at the moment. But we're glad to have you here tonight. We welcome you back to Sandown. We're going to ask you to come and sing for us. Thank you.
Is
Rachel and Tirza, thank you so much for being with us tonight and for your help in this meeting. We've certainly been blessed by your singing, and we'll hear from you in just a wee moment's time. Can you turn with me, please, in the Word of God this evening to the book of Matthew? Matthew chapter 27, please. Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to read from verse 15. Matthew chapter 27. Verse number 15. The Lord Jesus Christ is on trial in these verses. We cut into the trial in the words of verse 15. Matthew chapter 27 and the verse 15. It says, "Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the three and twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. And Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. When they had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. Amen. We'll end there at verse number 28, and we pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word for his name's sake. Let me welcome you all along this evening to our evening gospel service. We are glad to see you all in the house of the Lord, and we give you all that very special warm welcome in the Savior's name. To any who may be visiting, we welcome you as well, especially tonight. Also to those who are watching online, we welcome you as part of our congregation as well. Can I, on behalf of our congregation, express our Christian sympathy to our brother Andy and his wife Anne McLaughlin on the death of Andy's brother John yesterday morning. And we also include in that Kyle and Anna, Anna Hamilton, that would have been John's niece. And so to the entire family, we express our sympathy. And please do remember them very much in your prayers. That funeral service will be held tomorrow. And pray the Lord will give that special grace for that time. Do remember the meetings throughout the week then, in the will of the Lord. We have our Explorers Bible Club Tuesday night at 7 p.m. And then also on Tuesday night, we have a meeting of our church session at 8 o'clock. Then on Thursday night, Bible study, prayer meeting, back here in the church. And I'll be here to bring the word on Thursday night, God willing. Our youth fellowship on this Friday night at 8 o'clock. This Friday night, we are going to start a little series in our youth fellowship looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And so we encourage all of our young people to join with us this Friday night and over the next number of weeks as well as we consider this subject. Next Sunday, all the services are at the normal times, 10:15, Sunday School Bible class, 11:30, morning worship preceded by the season of prayer, Hollywood Sunday School at 2:30, and our gospel service next Sunday evening at 6:30. And next Sunday evening, that will be by way of our family and friends monthly service, and our sister Gillian Gamble will be here to testify of the Lord's grace and goodness to her through difficult times in her life. So do remember that. Use this as an opportunity to invite your friends and your family in under the gospel. Catherine and Ruth Mitchell will also be here to sing, God willing. I want you to continue to remember those who are unwell at this time. It's good to see our brother Tom back out with us. Good to see you, Tom. And the Lord continue to keep his hand upon you. Do continue to remember Brian and Eileen as they recover back home out of hospital. But do remember those who are still in hospital, our brother Sammy Lewis and also brother Richard Scott, both still in hospital. Richard receiving more treatment during the week. Do remember Richard and Sammy in your prayers. And also our sister Jennifer Newbury as well. And also Maureen Ewing will be going, God willing, this Friday in for her operation. And remember her. Brother David McCauley has arrived safely in Uganda. And do remember David as he is there for the month of February, working in the school there and teaching and preaching in the church. And do remember David in your prayers. The Lord will bless him, keep his hand upon him. And of course, remember Rachel and the children at home as well. Can I also remind you of our Bible conference that's coming up at the start of March, the first weekend in March, the 3rd, the 4th, and then the Lord's Day, the 6th of March. The Reverend Roger Higginson will be here to preach at those meetings, and so please do plan to be with us for those. Those announcements always made subject to the will of the Lord. I'm going to ask the girls to come and sing for us again, please. Thank you.
Cross, I will ever be.
Thank you so much again for your message and song and blessing. And thank God tonight for the old rugged cross. And may we ever cling and ever cherish that old rugged cross. Girls, thank you so much for coming tonight. We welcome you all in the Saviour's name. Glad to have you in the Lord's name. I want you to turn with me, please, again to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, I want to look this evening at the subject of a monumental moment. Matthew chapter 27, before we come to the preaching of the word of the Lord, perhaps we could stand just to change your position for a moment's prayer, please. Let's stand if you can. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for the messages and song. Thank the Lord for help given, Lord, to Rachel and to Tears if they've ministered to us in song. No, God, we pray that tonight you'll help us all to cherish that old rugged cross. Lord, we pray that it may not just simply be something in our mind. No, God, we pray that what was wrought for us there on the cross will be something that will be precious to us in our hearts. Bless us, we pray now, as we come to the Word. Help us, O God, we ask of Thee as we consider these events, Lord, that led up to the cross. O God, we pray that tonight you be pleased, Lord, to speak. Lord, take thy word and apply it by thy Spirit to all of our hearts, most especially tonight to those who are out of Christ. Bring the lost to thyself. Glorify thy great name. In the name of Christ, we ask all of these things. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you probably couldn't fail to notice the events that have taken place politically in our province this week, as once again we're told that the collapse of our government has been a monumental moment in our history. As I listened to the events of Thursday unfold on the radio in the car, I kept hearing those terms such as monumental day, historic moment, landmark moment. All of those, no doubt, were true politically. But the problem you see within our province tonight is that we've got so fixated with earthly material things and political things that we've lost sight of what really is important. Many questions on the lips of so many just now. Now, who's going to win the election? Who's going to be First Minister? What do you think of all the events that have happened? Many questions as a result of this defining week in our province. But this evening I want to take you to another defining moment, another monumental moment in a person's life. And that monumental moment was defined by a monumental question. The character tonight that we're going to look at is Pilate. Pilate has been questioning Christ. He finds no fault in Christ. He then passes him on to Herod, who also finds him faultless. But old Pilate, not to be outdone, has one more plan up his sleeve. One more way, as he thought, that he could personally evade being responsible for what he would have to do with Christ. He would follow the tradition of releasing a prisoner that we read about in verse number 15. This was a custom that the Jews had at the time of Passover, that the people themselves would have had the choice who would be released. You see, as opposed to handing the Savior over to the government, he handed him over to the people. And Pilate saw that it was the choice of the people rather than his own choice. But the people didn't want the Lord released. They wanted Barabbas released. They opted for the guilty over the innocent. Barabbas, who was a notable sinner, guilty of murder, but Christ, who was guilty of nothing. But Pilate heeds the call of the people. He had given them that choice. They had made their choice. But as we'll see tonight, Pilate still had to reach that monumental moment in his life personally. Try as he might, he could not evade having to do something with Christ. And so in verse number 22, he says, "What shall I do then with Jesus?" What shall I do then with Jesus? They had wanted Barabbas released. But now he wants to know, well, what do I do with this other prisoner? He had to do something. He had ducked, he had dived the issue for so long, but now he can't evade it anymore. It was a monumental moment in his life. You see, Pilate had a decision to make. That same decision that faces every one of mankind tonight. And sinner in this meeting tonight, you may have tried to evade this moment up until this moment. You may have tried to evade this decision right up until now. But now, you have a decision to make. This is a monumental moment in your life tonight. What shall I do then with Jesus? As we think of this monumental moment, I want you to see, first of all, here the dilemma that it presented. The dilemma that it presented. You see, Pilate was in a very sticky position. He knew it. What would he do? The people had spoken, yet that didn't solve the problem for him. They had rejected the Lord. And yet Pilate knew that the Lord was innocent. He knew that he was guilty of no crime. His wife even knew that he was innocent. She describes him there in verse 19. Look at it. When he was set down in the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have now nothing to do with this just man." In a dream, she has been afflicted and affected by what she had witnessed, because she says she has suffered many things. What those things were, we do not know. But we know this, they got her attention. The innocency and the flawlessness and the perfection of Christ was clear for all to see. And she was troubled. She was perplexed. God had spoken to her in order to get her attention, and through her to get Pilate's attention. You see, the perfection of Christ, the loveliness of Christ, the innocence of Christ, the sinlessness of Christ always makes an impact. It made an impact on this woman. And she didn't want Pilate to have anything to do with this just man. She was fearful of what would happen, because he was just. He was innocent. He was without any sin. And notice when this declaration of innocence came, it was just as Pilate was about to make judgment. Verse 19, when he sat down on the judgment seat. Pilate was just about to make a decision, and he heard from another source about the innocence of Christ. Facing up to a decision as to what he would do with Christ, there's another reminder. You put this man to death, you're putting to death an innocent man. And the witness of his wife confirmed that. And the conscience was troubling him. And the conscience now was bothering him. But look at verse 20. The chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Pilate within himself knew that Christ was innocent. Pilate knew within himself now that there was no way he could evade this matter any longer. He knew that Christ was truly the sinless, spotless Son of God. And as a result, he realized that if he was going to put this man to death, he was going to be putting an innocent man to death. Sinner in this meeting tonight, whether you like it or whether you don't, you're sitting in the seat of judgment, the seat of mine, making a decision what you'll do with Christ. I'm not asking you tonight, what do you think of this preacher, or what do you think of this sermon, or what do you think of this church, or what do you think of this denomination? It's nothing to do with that. What do you think of Christ? What do you think of Christ? And the witness within you declares that Christ is innocent, declares that Christ is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Christ tonight is your only hope. You know that. And the witness within you declares that, but perhaps even the witness without declares that as well. You think of those who have witnessed to you, those who have told you of your need to get right with God, your need to put this matter right, perhaps even a wife. But you need to be saved. You need to get this matter sorted once and for all. Don't let the crowds determine your destiny. Don't let the calls of the crowd determine what you will do with Christ. As we come into verse 20 again, we see how the crowds just wanted the Lord destroyed. They wanted him put to death. The multitude, you see, were led by the wrong people, the chief priests and the elders. They were led astray by the religious people, urging the ordinary people to go astray, urging the ordinary people to get away from God and to get away from the things of Christ, rather than leading them to Christ as they should have been. Some things really don't change. The religious establishment in almost every age are leading people away from Christ rather than leading them to Christ. But I wonder tonight, have you been led astray by the crowds? Have you been led away from Christ by those voices within you telling you, have nothing to do with this man? Sadly, this influence in the life of Pilate worked because the people rejected the Lord and cried out for Barabbas to be released. This was mob rule at its best. This was the crowd influencing a man. This was the voice of reason and sense being drowned out by the voice and the venom of the people. You see in verse 23, they cried out all the more, let him be crucified. Put him to death. Away with him. We don't want anything to do with him. Pilate, listen to us. We don't want anything to do with him, and you shouldn't have anything to do with him either. Pilate listened to the crowd. Pilate listened to the voices. And I wonder tonight, is that you? Listening to others who tell you have nothing to do with Christ, have nothing to do with this salvation, have nothing to do with being saved. You see, this people's dilemma in their desire to release Barabbas portrays a striking picture of the plan of salvation. The guilty is set free, and the innocent is put to death. Barabbas is spared, but Christ is crucified. And yet even in the actions of the crowd that day, we see a wonderful gospel picture of how the sinner is set free. How are we saved tonight? It is because Christ, the innocent one, the just one, died for the unjust. We are saved tonight because Christ was our substitute. We deserved the punishment, but Christ took that. We are guilty, not Christ. He's done nothing wrong. He did not sin. He could not sin. And yet he went to the cross, and during those hours of darkness, he died guilty before the judgment bar of God. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Sinner like Barabbas, you're guilty, you're vile, you're wretched. But Christ, the sinless one on the cross, took your place. He stood condemned, he stood guilty for your sin, not his own, that you might go free. I wonder tonight, are you a bit like Pilate? You're in a dilemma. No, you don't want to offend the world. You don't want to offend those voices who are telling you not to be saved. But you know you need to be saved, and you don't know what to do. All I say tonight, don't listen to the world. They will have no voice on the day of God's judgment for you. When you stand personally, individually, to be judged for what you have done with the world. Let the world go to hell if they wish, but don't you go there with them. Listen to that witness within you tonight, that spirit within you tonight that is striving and speaking to you and tells you you need to get right with God. The dilemma it presented. But I want you to see a little more here. I want you to see the distinction that it indicated, because I want to come back to something I touched on a few moments ago. You see, Pilate thought that he could get away with it by handing Christ over to the crowd. He thought he could evade doing anything with Christ personally by giving him over to the crowd. But he couldn't. Because he says in verse 22, "What shall I do then with Jesus?" Two very distinct people here. A very distinct relationship. What shall I do with Jesus? There's Pilate and there's the Savior. Pilate had tried to make out that it was the crowd's decision, that it was up to them what they would do with Christ. He tried to pass the buck for one more time, but the thing is, it came straight back at him. He couldn't evade it. He realized now that there was something that he personally had to do. Do you know what he realized? He realized that he was personally responsible for his own decisions and actions. Couldn't blame anyone else. He was deciding what he would do, not what the crowds would do. They can answer for themselves, but Pilate had to answer for himself. What was he going to do personally with Christ? You see, sinner, tonight it's not about the crowd. It's not about others. It's not about friends. It's not about family members. It's what about you tonight? What about you? Others will stand to answer for themselves. But it's what you will do in this monumental moment in your life. It's what you will do that will determine your eternal destiny. No one goes to hell because they went with the crowd. They went with the flow. Sinners are damned and doomed in a lost eternity, not because of the sins of others, but for their own sin. Personal, individual sin. You see, tonight the matter of salvation is very personal. It's very distinct because it involves a personal decision either to receive Christ or to reject Him. You might be brushing off this whole matter as something light. You might be putting off this matter. But here you are tonight. A monumental moment in your life's history. And it's just between you and the Lord. You and the Lord. It's what you do tonight with Christ that determines what He does with you. You can't blame others for your own sin. You'll be held personally accountable for your own sin. And the cause of God to the judgment day, that members of my family kept me back, members of my friends, they didn't want me to be saved. That will have no merit, no standing before God. This matter is between you and the Lord. Your spiritual well-being, your spiritual welfare, where you will be in eternity. It involves you and the Lord. It doesn't involve your relationship with anybody else. It doesn't involve your relationship to society. It doesn't involve your relationship to the church. It involves your relationship to the Lord. What shall I do then with Jesus? The Savior tonight of the world stands before you, sinner, declares to you that He's willing, He's able to save you from sin. He calls you, He commands you to come to Christ. Therefore, what will you do with Jesus? Pilate had to take responsibility for his own actions, and sinner, you have to take responsibility for your own actions as well. What shall I do then? I wonder tonight, what will you do? What will you do in this monumental moment in your history? What will you do with Christ? There is the dilemma presented, the distinction indicated, but I want you to see as well, there is the decision proclaimed. A decision had to be made. Would he listen to the world or would he listen to the crowds? Would he listen to the voice of conscience within him or would he listen to the voice of the crowds without him? That voice within him was saying, Christ is innocent, Christ is just, Christ should not be rejected, Christ should be set free. He was faced with a decision, and all decisions demand an answer. It demanded a response. Sadly, the response of Pilate was the wrong response, because he gave in to the crowds. And the governor in verse 23 said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, he simply gave him over to the crowds. He listened to the crowds. He desired the favor of the people more than desiring the favor of God. Pilate wanted to have the pat on the back from the crowds rather than have the well done of God. He chose the world over the Lord. He yielded to the pressures of the flesh rather than the promptings of the Spirit. He opted for the easy way, the quiet life, rather than the right way. People say today, I just want a quiet life. Don't want to get saved because it might upset things at home. It might upset things in the family. Listen, that upset may be, but it'll only be for a short time. You tonight going with the crowds, listening to the crowds, rather than the conscience within you telling you you need to be saved. And so tonight you just go with the crowd. Go with the flow. Rather than going with Christ. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? You say, I'll just live without him. I'll go on ahead without him. I'll do what I've always done. I'll just go with the crowd. I'll listen. That's a dangerous, dangerous approach to take. Because you continue on that approach, you'll be lost in hell for all eternity. Pilate knew what he should do. In fact, Pilate knew the right thing to do. But he didn't do it. Dear unsaved tonight, you know tonight the right thing to do is to get saved and get right with God. The right thing to do tonight is to receive Jesus Christ. Will you do it? Will you do it? Will you be saved tonight? Will you acknowledge before God your sinfulness? Will you acknowledge that Christ is your only way to heaven? The only way that you can be saved is what Christ went on to do for you in the cross of Calvary. Will you realize tonight you are personally responsible for what you do with Jesus? You might want to do what Pilate did and wash your hands of the whole situation, because that's what he did in verse 24. He said, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person, see you to it. Then he answered all the people, he said, his blood be on us and on our children. He couldn't wash away his innocency. He couldn't wash away the fact that he had decided against Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ, which would have saved him that day, would rise up on the day of judgment to condemn him to a lost eternity. And you see tonight, sinner, the blood of Christ will either cleanse you or it will condemn you. Tonight, the blood of Christ will cleanse if you will come. But on the day of judgment, that blood will condemn you because you have refused to come. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? This was a monumental moment. But Pilate failed. I wonder tonight, how will you stand in this monumental moment? Or you say, I've been here every Sunday for many years. Do you realize that every time you hear the gospel, it may be your last? To hear the gospel for one time is on the mercy of God. To hear it for more than once is on the long suffering of God. But God says, my spirit shall not always strive. You can't put off this decision anymore. This is a monumental moment in your life. This could be the very moment, like Pilate, that will determine your destiny. For heaven or for hell. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What will you do with Christ tonight? What will you do with the Savior? Oh, tonight, run to Him. Get to Christ tonight. That conscience within you which is telling you, you need to be saved. Don't ignore it. Don't listen to the crowds. Don't listen to other voices. Come tonight to Christ and be saved. And get right with Him. Give your life over to Him. That this monumental moment in your life might be the best moment when you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Will you come to Christ tonight? Will you be saved tonight? What will you do with Christ tonight? Let's bow in prayer. As we close our meeting tonight, I urge you, get to Christ. I urge you tonight, run to Christ. I urge you tonight, be saved. Realize you have a personal responsibility. The Savior who died is the Savior who saves, who will save you tonight, if you will but come. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight for grace. Pray, Lord, tonight for grace to leave sin and to get to Christ. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight for the Spirit of God by irresistible grace to change your life. Do thy work, O God, we pray. Save in this meeting, we ask. In the Savior's name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's close with the singing of the words of hymn number 225 in our hymn books. Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin, as he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? We'll stand together as we sing this final hymn, please.